I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. We've all heard that mortgage interest rates have started to rise, but I'm not here to scare you like those other banks and mortgage companies. I'm still locking loans in, saving people thousands of dollars a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com.
The Home Loan Expert LLC.
Yeah, you want to talk quarterback. We know that. So we'll start right off the bat. Adam Schefter reporting Sam Darnold looks like he's going to be the starter for the Jets in week one. Not the quarterback you wanted right off the bat? You hear the laugh. He's back. Ryan Brown's here. Lance Taylor's here. I'm Jim Dunaway. Rockstar in studio with us. Stu and Laura producing the show. We're ready to go on a Monday, one step closer to football. We'll do best and worst of the weekend. We'll hear from Jalen Hurts coming up in segment two and probably a lot of segments after that. But just your initial thoughts from what you heard over the weekend, as a lot of people are saying now, the quarterback battle is sort of trending towards a little bit of a quarterback controversy in some people's eyes.
It sounded like one guy was the starting quarterback and one guy knows he's lost the job to me. And that's what it sounded like when you listen to both of them talk. One of them was all positive and, you know, talking about what he learned through an injury and how it helped him change his perspective and smiling and happy. And the other one, it's talking about building his own brand and things like that. So it sounds like one of them knows he's not going to play much.
Yeah, and one of them seems like obviously frustrated by the whole process in Jalen Hurts, and probably a reason that they didn't want Jalen Hurts talking.
I don't understand the non-talking thing. I mean, I know Tua went on his own media tour of Hawaii and took his own media with him, basically, over there. AL.com and CBS 42 made the trip over there. I'm not sure that was an Alabama-sanctioned thing. At A-Day, was Jalen available?
No, he didn't talk in the spring. And that's one thing he was asked about was, would you have liked to sound off on this in the spring? And basically said, you know, we'll hear it later. He says, I don't know why they didn't want me to talk to you.
Well, here's cut one, Stu. This is how Jalen got things going right out of the gate. An opening statement, if you will, from the guy who is the 25-2 quarterback, but trending to be QB2. Our QB gone. Here is Jalen Hurts.
A lot of rumors, a lot of speculation about things that have gone on this summer. And you know, the funny part for me is it's just a lot of people that have made decisions for me. And you know, it's actually good to see y'all guys. Kind of feel like they've been hiding from y'all. But there's been a lot going on, a lot of things being said. Everybody has something to say, everybody has an opinion, but the funniest thing about all of it is I've never said a thing. You know, I kept my mouth closed, didn't say anything to anyone. And in regards to people believing the things that are said, you know, it's hard to believe something from somebody that the number one source didn't say anything. So.
That's Jalen Hurts in his opening comments to the media. It was media day. Everyone was there, and it was an opportunity for a lot of people to talk. Usually it's we talk. Rarely is it a lot of me talk.
But all right, if I just dropped you out of a spaceship and you had no earthly idea what was going on in this situation, and I set that soundbite you just heard up by saying, hey guys, Jalen Hurts left the Alabama team. He has finally spoken to the media about leaving the Alabama team. Here's what he had to say. You would have said, okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it sounds like it, right? Yeah.
That's what really surprises me, Dunaway, that you know, you take these subtle shots. You've had really months to prepare for this moment. And it was so calculated from Jalen Hurts. And he sounds like a guy that is truly hurt by the situation.
We want to hear from you guys. So throughout the morning, several times, your chance to chime in on what you heard from Jalen Hurts and Tua and everyone else at Alabama Media Day, 834-9450, 834-9450, 800-239-WJOX. Also, since we left the air on Friday, we've had a lot happen in the Urban Meyer investigation, including yesterday, the names that have come out for that six-person panel and a timeline. As we wake up this morning, if you missed it last night, Urban Meyer's investigation is set to be completed within 14 days. That's two full weeks. And they've got a slew of former politicians and three trustees that are on that board now. But they did have an opportunity to hear from Zach Smith. Cut 11, if you will, Stu. Zach Smith, back on Friday after we left the air, the guy who has been fired as the wide receiver coach. Looked like he was still in Ohio State gear, though, as he was doing this interview. According to the way it broke down, he called ESPN and said, hey, I want to talk. And he basically went out and was trying to save Urban Meyer's job and started off by saying, you know, what he told Urban Meyer about the 2015 domestic violence call.
He asked me what the hell is going on. I told him, I said, Courtney's accusing me that I committed domestic violence. I didn't. I don't know what's going on, but I'm meeting with the pal. I'm going to go down and meet with the investigator and find out what the deal is. And after that, I told him, I said, they have some pictures of her. Anything that happened to her body was all just defensive movements to remove myself from the situation. And I said, and that's it. And I'm not going to get charged because I didn't do anything wrong.
How did he respond to that?
He looked at me and said, I swear to God, Zach, if I find out you hit her, you're done. You're fired. And I said, okay, I understand, Coach. I didn't. I'm fine.
That's Zach Smith on Friday.
You know, we laugh. I mean, it's awful. I will tell you this. The more this thing plays out, as I told you on Friday, no way, I didn't believe that he was going to be able to keep his job. Now that we've got this 14-day investigation, which, again, pushes it further back, and with the Zach Smith on record now with ESPN, I think it's 50-50.
He's going to be Ohio State's coach. Now, he might get suspended a game or two.
No, see, I said on Friday, Brown, that it'll be all the non-conference games. He'll be back for Big Ten games.
That's fine.
Oregon State.
He's going to be Ohio State.
Tough TCU coach. Game, then.
Yeah, he's going to be on the road. He's going to be the coach. I mean, it's lining up now. Everybody's going to fall on the sword. Gene Smith will lose his job. This dude right here's probably getting paid to make up a story. I mean, it was so made up. Urban told me, now you know how I stand on domestic violence. God, come on, we're not idiots.
Do you think that was all orchestrated on Friday afternoon, the release and the interview and all that? He did interview with the Jocks of Columbus. I don't know their call letters. We'll just call them the Jocks of Columbus.
I believe they're the fan.
The sports station you want to be on in Columbus. And he called ESPN up with the guy who was covering it and said, hey, I want to do an exclusive interview.
Well, remember his ex-wife, Courtney Smith, when she was on record saying, Zach said if he ever gets fired, he's taking everybody down with him.
Yeah.
So for that to be a 180 and for Zach to actually come out and endorse Urban Meyer and say that Urban Meyer knew about it, yeah, I mean, I agree with Brown. I think this whole thing was orchestrated. But again, I mean, there's a good chance this could save his job.
Did you read the Urban Meyer statement?
I did.
I mean, if that was the statement the attorneys let him send out, how would you like to have seen, like, the first draft? I mean, because that statement was awful. He had admitted to lying, which we knew he lied.
He had to do that, though.
He had to what? Admit to lying or had to lie?
He had to admit to lying.
Oh, yeah, because we all knew he lied.
And asked for forgiveness.
Yeah, but the whole basically, oh, yeah, I've known about this, but it's not an issue until you knew about it. I mean, that's what the statement said. It wasn't an issue to me until you guys found out about it. Now I got to fire him.
Now, we do have to remember, again, the Freedom Act?
Freedom of Information.
Yeah, Freedom of Information Act. I mean, if Urban Meyer with the university phone has any text out there from the last 3, 4, 5 years.
That ought to be interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure people are digging.
Because everybody in this story was lobbing up stories, and Brett McMurphy was like, well, actually, let me just tell you what happened. Like, dude said he'd never been arrested. And Brett McMurphy said, unfortunately, there's an arrest report. You were arrested. And he said, well, I never hit her. It was all defensive. And then he shows the text where he admits to trying to strangle her. I mean, it's just ridiculous that they want us to believe this stuff.
So we'll keep an update on that, but a 14-day investigation is the timeline they've laid out there. Justin Thomas wins yesterday, and he goes now to defend his PGA championship. Justin Thomas, the Alabama golf. Now listen, Manziel on Friday night was horrible. He also was with that team like before practices, and the playbook he is not a master of right now, and he is playing for the worst team in the Canadian Football League. So I'd give Johnny Manziel a beat or two.
That was my worst, too.
But he was horrible.
I mean, 4 picks in the first half, 50-11. I mean, you don't see blowouts like that in the CFL.
You really don't. And his first interception was a horrible read. The second one was him making a play, and his guy tipped it. And then the third one and fourth one were just bad throws. He was trying to force things.
But what you saw seemed to be what was rumored about him at Texas A&M is he never really bothered to learn the offense at Texas A&M, that he was just able, he was so incredibly talented that his improv was good enough to beat teams.
What I'm saying, though, is let's give him at least another week to try to learn a little bit of the offense. Yeah.
I don't know how much better it gets. Obviously, really talented guy when he played at Texas A&M and had a couple of moments for the Cleveland Browns. Right. You know, he needs to play for Jason Brown, the head coach for Independence.
Oh, man, I've watched that.
I've only seen the first episode.
All right, guy.
I convinced Lance to watch it last week.
Have you watched it all, Dunaway?
I haven't watched it all, no.
Well, how far along are you?
I'm first episode.
Oh, are you?
They're long episodes.
They really are. I'm about 5 minutes.
I mean, my God, it was 56
You know, the
minutes.
Brown, when he yes. told me, so he set it up, and I said, look, I really enjoyed season one. Didn't see season two. Have no desire to see season three. But he basically told me what happened after the episode one.
Yeah.
So I had to watch.
No, it's
when I told him they moved to Kansas and the guy was from Compton.
Yeah. Oh, he's got the most creative use of the F word of anybody I've ever seen. My favorite part of it, though, is when he says, yeah, I haven't really had time to study film. They're talking about their first opponent,
yeah, that
which
was
really, really, really good.
Yeah. I'm kind of a savant.
Yeah, I'm kind of a savant on breaking teams down on the fly, and he's down 42-0 at the half.
And the JUCO quarterback who got kicked out of Florida State because he's such a bad guy.
Yeah, he's calling his own plays.
He's like, just let me take over play call.
It's phenomenal.
Savants.
I'm kind of a savant on breaking teams down on the fly. He's down 42-0.
And the kid throws a touchdown and comes off the field and saying, that's what I'm talking about. Let me call plays. And he's like, don't put me on blast, man.
Hey, whether you're planning a summer vacation or a business trip you wish was a summer vacation, stay at La Quinta. With renovated lobbies and redesigned rooms, La Quinta is your way to win the road. Book now at LQ.com.
Okay, let's talk Jalen Hurts here. And what Jalen said over the weekend, we gave you a snippet of his opening statement. There's been a lot made about him at SEC, what Nick Saban said at SEC Media Days about knowing if Jalen would be on the roster for the first game against Louisville. Something Nick had came out later on and said, you know, we've talked. He said he's going to be here. Here's Jalen Hurts on not leaving and what that conversation or Jalen going to the office to tell coach he's going to be here was like.
Can you take us through your conversation with Nick about that you're going to stay?
Well, and that was kind of taken out of proportion as well because it wasn't a conversation. It didn't go like that. I actually went and talked to him about his comments on if he didn't know if I'd be here for the first game. Mm-hmm. And we had a conversation about that, and I was kind of shocked that he said that. But me coming at him and trying to see what was going on and all that, then I told him in June that I'd be here. I mean, it was never a decision that needed to be made in regards to me leaving. That was something that the kind of general media placed on me, and something that I never said. So with that, I told him, I said, like I told you already, I'll be here. Then I'm about to graduate in January, so I leave. Even when I'm not in a situation where I think I should leave, I'm here. But why do that when you're 15 credits, 15 hours away from graduating?
Didn't his dad start? I mean, nobody. Yep. If it had not been for his dad's comments that if he's not the starter, he'll be the biggest free agent in college football history. If his dad had not said that, do you think we'd all be debating at the fever pace of him transferring out?
Maybe not transferring out. I still think this would be obviously a huge topic just based on how Tagovailoa played in the second half and the speculation that he's going to be the guy.
But he is specifically talking about, you know, the media is the one that started this whole thing of me transferring. I've never said that. Well, your dad did.
Yeah.
Your dad did.
Because you're the biggest free agent in the history of college football, potentially. Yeah.
But do you guys agree? I mean, he sounds like truly banged up, emotionally banged up, and it's so early in this quarterback competition. Would you guys not rather him be on record saying, I don't know about you, but I've started the last 28 games. This is my team.
Yep.
You know, I respect Tua. But if you guys go back over the last 2 years, who started the last 28 games? It's my team. I feel like I'm going to win this competition. And, you know, in the next couple of weeks, we'll see what happens. But right now, it's my team.
But you didn't see that at the spring game.
No, you didn't.
No, you played awful.
When we were over there, the best opportunity most fans had to see Jalen, his body language was not very good.
It wasn't. And he didn't play very well either. The defense kind of dominated on that side. But I will say this about what Jalen Hurts just said in that bite. I was shocked, too, at the way Nick Saban answered that question. Weren't you guys?
I was, too.
Dennis Dodd asked him the question point blank, do you anticipate Jalen Hurts being on the roster? It was a point blank question.
It was the biggest story of the day.
It was. And Saban answered it by saying, you know, I don't really know. And when Saban said that, I was like, are you serious? I was blown away. Blown away. And
yeah, so, because if you ask that of Damian Harris, he would think it's a dumb question. Yeah, Why would you even ask that?
Of course, 100%. Damian Harris is going to be on the roster. He didn't go to the NFL. I was shocked at that. To me, when I hear what Jalen Hurts says versus what Nick Saban said in Atlanta, it seems like there's a part of this story that's missing somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Because there was, I mean, you guys, we were all together at the A-Day. It wasn't just one person. It was a lot of people inside of Alabama football. I'm not talking about media. I'm talking about people within that program that thought Jalen Hurts was going to transfer this summer. I was surprised he stuck around.
Yeah, like surprised he's there right now.
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked. There are a lot of people who thought that was going to go down this summer.
But doesn't it still, again, you're one play away from Jalen Hurts actually becoming the starting quarterback again. And again, this is still not played out, but doesn't it seem inevitable that after this season he is gone?
It does after this season. The thing I think most Alabama fans are asking themselves today is, what am I going to get from Jalen Hurts as he stays at Alabama this year to finish his degree?
Yeah, the one thing you don't want is a fractured locker room.
Exactly. And, but you also don't want a guy who's going to go in if Tua gets hurt or is going to have some playing time and is not prepared to do it or is not eager to lay it on the line for the good old State U. You know what I mean?
Right. You don't want a guy mentally checked out, is what you're saying.
Exactly. Or you don't want a guy who says, I'm good for four, but I don't want to play five.
Right. We talked about that the other day when McElroy said that that's what he would tell Nick Saban if he were Jalen Hurts. I don't want that guy either. I mean, I'd rather have Mac Jones than that guy.
Cut three, Stu. Jalen, though, giving you a little bit of what you wanted here, talking about don't count him out yet, though. He still has a little competition left in him.
Like I said, it's funny to me. It's all silly. I mean, that's the world we live in. You know, it's the reality of it. Like I said, I mean, ever since the championship game, you know, people have counted me out. People have said I'm going to go to Texas or go here. Whatever it is, alumni have said that. I mean, the list goes on, but regardless of what people say, I'm still here. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, my job is to be the best quarterback I can be, and that's what I strive to do every day.
That's Jalen Hurts on Saturday, and he has been terrific.
What airport were they at?
I do not understand the cameras that are here in 2018 that they still make that sound.
Yeah.
Right? That's just for effect, right?
It's effect. Total effect.
No, it is not.
That's what when it's Trump or Obama did a speech, it's always effect. It's always,
it's gotta be.
Every press conference.
I mean, you could silence whatever.
It's digital cameras. Unless you're using an old film camera, it doesn't make that sound.
Well, I thought it was the scope, or what do they call it?
Shutter.
The shutter. What's this thing right here that I'm making? The lens. Yeah, I thought it was the extended lens that makes
just
that
the shutter going off and on.
So that's 100% for effect?
I think
that's
so.
Ridiculous.
For an old 35mm, you don't use it for a digital camera. You can turn that off.
That's ridiculous.
When you move forward, and that's what we'll be talking about today as we move throughout the show, when you move forward with this team, they're in the middle of camp now, and we're just second and 26 away from playing a football game. We're 26 days away from Alabama being on the football field. Where do you see this thing going?
Well, I mean, from day one, it looks like Tua was getting the reps with the ones. It's almost, I don't want to say Jalen is submitted, but Nick Saban said it. We want to see who actually takes ownership of this team. And just based on comments, going back to the body language and the fact that Tua's already taken the reps with the ones, I mean, it just seems like that's the way it's going to play out. And it may be not going to be nearly as intriguing as we thought it was going to be.
Yeah, and the other thing, don't forget, Saban said, and this was in his visit to Bristol when he came back and kind of cleaned up the Hurts conversation a little bit. Remember him saying, yeah, I told these guys, don't make it about you. You know, none of this needs to be about you. Well,
that was all about him.
The first media opportunity, one made it about him and one didn't. So
do you guys believe that after Hurts' comments, do you think Saban and Hurts have had a conversation?
Yeah. It'd shock me if they haven't.
Braxton Miller had won 22 straight games, lost two games, got hurt, missed a season, and then came back, and he came back as a receiver.
Yeah. Well, because
so throughout history, there are people that have lost their jobs with great records.
Yeah, but I mean,
not often.
The backup, actually, as it turned out, came in and played better.
Yeah, I mean, JT Miller was great. He gets hurt, and then Cardell Jones comes in and plays an unbelievable three-game stretch. But, you know, the difference there, Dunaway, was Braxton Miller was able to say, whatever I need to do to help my team, if you want to move me, and that's what they did. And guess what? Braxton Miller's cashing checks every Sunday playing receiver for the Texans.
And I'm still not sure Urban Meyer handled that properly, though, you know? I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, it was Virginia Tech they were playing, right?
Yeah.
And it was this huge mystery who was going to start. And their offense that year, it seemed like it kind of
Never got him.
Never got him.
Look good in that second half against Virginia Tech, and we thought, hey, this team's going to go 14-0.
Jalen Hurts, one story. Urban Meyer, another story. Those are the two biggest stories across the country in college football. B-Ham Dog starts us off on line one. Hey, B-Ham Dog, how you doing?
Hey, good, guys. Good. How are you guys doing?
Awesome. Thank you.
Good. I want to make a comment about Jalen Hurts, and I have a question to drumbeat off of that. So the comment, I guess the biggest difference for Jalen Hurts and the Alabama situation, he's won a national title. You know, you can almost see, just use Georgia, not just use that for an example, Justin Fields and Jake Fromm, you can almost see those guys working together to achieve that ultimate goal, and that's to win a national championship. You know, you have that in your back pocket. It's like, hey, we can make this work. Well, Jalen's won a national championship. You know, what more is there to prove other than getting to the NFL? Which leads me to my question, and I'll hang up and listen. I hope you guys have a good day. You know it can work with running backs at Alabama and every other school to not having a premier running back making it to the NFL. If you have talent, true throwing talent, can two quarterbacks, once you go to the combine, you show your skills, can two quarterbacks playing for the same team possibly make it to the NFL? And I'll hang up and listen.
Matt Cassel. So, always going to be your go-to answer in that situation, was a always backup quarterback at USC and made it to the NFL.
I'm trying to think of other situations where you've had multiple quarterbacks. First of all, I don't believe Jalen Hurts is an NFL quarterback, just personal opinion.
Yeah, well, no, I would agree with you, and I think that's the flaw to that question. I mean, he does not throw the ball anywhere close to accurate enough. I mean, you've got Kelvin Benjamin, who is now a Buffalo, in Buffalo saying, I would have been better off if I had gotten with a more accurate quarterback. I mean, he's taking a shot right between the eyes of Cam Newton, saying Cam Newton's not accurate. And this is an NFL MVP he's talking about.
Former MVP, and now he gets to play with A.J. McCarron. So good luck.
Yeah, but do you know how far advanced Cam Newton is as compared to Jalen Hurts in throwing the football?
Not even close. Light years.
Yeah, Newton was better at Auburn throwing it than Hurts is at Alabama. And now Newton is even better than that. And you've got a former receiver taking cracks at him, saying, I would have been better off if I had been drafted by a different team than Carolina with an accurate quarterback that could get me the football.
But as far as what concerns the people listening to us, the most part of them, Alabama fans, do you think this Jalen thing on Saturday began to look like it could hurt the team as the season rolled
around? Yeah, a little bit. I never thought we would have an Alabama player, or at least this is the first time you seem to have a disgruntled player on record.
Well, Paul made mention of his mom, and this is the Facebook post that, I can't verify that it's his mom. I don't know. It's a Facebook post claiming to be Pamela Hurts. A lot of people say it's her, and she goes off, and that's things that when those things start, when mom and dad get involved.
Yeah, well, the dad started it with, he'll be the biggest free agent in college football history if he doesn't win the job. And then the Tagovailoa's doubled down with the Talia commitment on A-Day. And Jalen's body language that day was not very good. And then you had the comments this past Saturday. So it's all moving into a situation where obviously there's got to be some handling of outside distractions that coaching staff has to do. Bob in Chattanooga next with us. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Doing great.
Thank you, Bob.
Just kind of stumbled across you this morning and wanted to ask if the same situation with Urban Meyer was going on in the South, wouldn't the Me Too movement descend on whatever college town it would be? And I haven't heard any kind of an inkling about that in Columbus.
Oh, it'll happen. I agree with you. Well, I haven't heard that yet.
The announcement hadn't been made. There's no
punishment yet. Watch September 1. If Urban Meyer is the head coach, when they take the field September 1 against Oregon State, there will be a ton of people outside of that stadium.
Well, whether it's September 1 or September 22nd, why would the administration at Ohio State not go ahead and cut it and move on?
Because he's the most powerful. The most powerful people generally survive these things. And now that LeBron is an L.A. Laker, you're talking about the most powerful man in the state of Ohio.
Yeah, I mean, Urban Meyer's a guy, it's proven he's won 3 national championships, so that's the known. If you get rid of Urban Meyer, it becomes an unknown who that next guy is.
And he's 61-8, and that always makes for wiggle room in the world of sports, just like it does in the room for business when you're making the most money for your company. They give you wiggle room. That's not right. but that's the reality of the world. He's 61-8 the last 5 years.
Well, I'm not naive enough to not include that in my thought process. All I'm getting at is, with what you know is going to happen in the end, and look at the Woody Hayes. I mean, y'all brought up some things earlier, Paul did. You know, look at what ends up happening in the cloud that's over your program for, you know, 5 to 7 years after that, let alone who follows Urban Meyer, whether he's winning or losing. It's going to take a while to get normalcy back in Columbus. Why would you not go ahead and get it done now, especially with some of the rising stars out there in the coaching profession? I mean, I'd get rid of him now, make it through the year, and then hire Lane Kiffin and move on.
Yeah. No. I see what you're saying, and I think that's really what those three trustees and the three other members of that board, they have to weigh that is long-term, can Urban get this stink off of him?
But here's what they know. Here's what they know, and this is the truth. And this will be calculated. The people at Ohio State know, yes, like Lance said, September 1, outside the horseshoe, there'll be a million protesters. September 8th, you know how many there'll be? About half that.
A little less.
September 15th, a little less. And by the time you hit October, it'll be on to another story. And you'll just have to weather the storm through September. That's what they're counting on, is that whoever is willing to come out and protest this will find a bigger protest in October. We'll be in the rearview mirror. Sure, we'll have a little stink on us, but we're still winning football games, and ultimately that's what we want to do.
Now, it would have been interesting to see if Urban Meyer is, in fact, the head coach moving forward. Who would have been the coach if they would have gotten rid of Urban Meyer? I lean it was probably Matt Campbell, because a guy like Lane Kiffin, although he's got a really good track record, and it seems to be getting better and better for Lane Kiffin and seems to be growing as a head coach, he's still got baggage.
Yeah, Matt Campbell at Ohio State, Lane Kiffin at LSU. Fits better than Lane Kiffin
right.
at Ohio State.
I just don't think Ohio State would take any chances.
Scoob's on a cell phone 25 after. Hey, Scoob's.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing this morning?
Great, thank you.
Doing great, man.
Before I get to the Jalen topic, I want to make a little bit of an endeavor in this Urban Meyer thing. Like, one way or the other, it doesn't make a difference to me whether he's gone or if he stays, but the whole entire point of the NCAA with this whole Joe Paterno thing, I know it's a lot bigger scale, and then you go to the Baylor thing, and I know that's a bigger scale, but it's about cover-ups, guys, and it's about misleading the media, misleading your fans, misleading your university, and sometimes even, I'm not saying it's a large scale as lack of institutional control, but secrets are not good, and I want you guys' opinion on that. Regardless on if he's winning or losing, it's still being untruthful, and it's a lie.
Well, I think the story that is going to come out of here, I think what Ohio State is going to try to sell you on, this is just my opinion, is, yes, Urban lied at Big Ten Media Days because he was blindsided by the question and he was unprepared. That's what Urban has already said, so that's clearly going to be their game plan there. I think on the reporting part, I think Gene Smith is going to take the fall. There may be some police officers that take the fall. But ultimately, what Ohio State is going to lead you to believe is that Urban Meyer reported this up the food chain and it died there. And it was people above Urban Meyer that protected Zach Smith, and Urban Meyer did everything he was supposed to do. That's what they're going to want you to believe, I think, when all this is said and done. Now, I think we're all smart enough not to believe it, but I think that's what they're going to try to say. And they've got to do that because of what you said, the NCAA could get involved. And if Urban Meyer says, look, I reported it. I can't help it that the people in front of me didn't do anything, but they're fired now. That's going to be their only hope, I think, in this.
So more or less then, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, I mean, it sounds like a bad thing to say, but there's a scapegoat for every clause
yep.
situation, and a win is a win, and a winners are important. So they're going to find the door and say, hey, buddy, see you later. We're going to keep this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. I just wanted to touch on that a little bit. Now, moving kind of forward to this Jalen Hurts Tua thing, I'm a diehard Bama fan, been that way my whole life. I'm a little at unease now with this situation. I know it's a great problem everybody says to have, is have two national championship caliber quarterbacks, but I still believe in my mind, based off the experience that Jalen has had and because of the dues that he's paid, something still tells me that he takes the first snap. Nick Saban plays these quarterback games, and he's a chess master at it, but I still think Jalen leaves in December. That's just my gut thing. But moving forward, I guess I'm – do you think that this is a situation where Nick Saban names his starter by the first SEC game, or do you think that he can name it after Louisville? Like, where do you guys sit, or do you think that Jalen doesn't take the first snap, Jalen doesn't play, and Jalen's gone?
Yeah, I would have been with you on Jalen taking the first snap until now this weekend.
Yeah, I think I agree.
I've done a 180 on this. I think Tua will take the first snap against Louisville, at least where we sit today.
Yeah, you say that because you felt like because what Jalen had done for the program, Nick Saban would almost, it was almost an honorary start. This guy has, it's a quarterback battle.
Right.
And he's done so much for us, so he's going to go out there. He's been a good teammate, a good team player. He's going to go out there and start the game for us, and then we'll move to Tua and transition as we move throughout the season. But now
I don't think we'll have Nick Saban on record saying Tua is going to be our starting quarterback. I just don't think that's typically not what Nick Saban does, and there's really no reason for that.
The niceness of it all sort of went out the window.
Yeah, feels like
Saturday.
It, yep.
Legitimate question: if Tua is actually that much better than Hurts, then why have a pseudo competition? Phillip Sims competed with AJ for one game, and after that, no competition for 3 years. No competition for Greg either. Well, one reason, George, you do that, you not prevent, but you discourage a transfer at that point. If you say after the spring game that the competition's over, that Tua is the quarterback in this situation, then that opens the door for Jalen to maybe not want to hang around and be your quarterback number two. And that's detrimental to the team, not having Jalen Hurts' quality a quarterback too. That's one reason coaches would say they do it. But I do think that, you know, like Phillip Sims and AJ McCarron, AJ ended up winning the job, but I do think he let that carry over into the season just to see how players react in games.
And I think this is also, I agree with that, but I think this is also a show of respect for Jalen Hurts. Look, you've been our starting quarterback for 2 years, for 28 games. You are 26-2. So you do deserve the opportunity to earn the starting position.
And to be part of the organization and not to be embarrassed publicly by saying the competition's over. Let's carry it on into the fall. I will tell you, Blake Barnett got the start. Did he look like he could handle games? He must look good in practice. He got the start. Did he look like he could handle game situations?
I mean, it was a small sample, but no, he didn't. Yeah.
And let's not forget that was a game they won 52-6.
Well, that's what it was made. It looked a lot worse in hindsight. Barnett looked a lot worse because a true freshman came off the bench and torched USC.
Yeah, but Jalen comes in and he was calm, cool, and collected, where Blake looked like he was a deer in the headlights.
Yeah,
but so, I mean, so sometimes guys look okay in practice and then get into the game and they don't look good.
But you know what's funny? Let's say Barnett stayed in that game and Alabama wins that game 24-3. I think you feel pretty good about Barnett, don't you? You would have been saying, hey, that's Southern Cal, man, 24-3. That's a pretty good beatdown. Kid's going to find his legs. He'll be fine. Yeah, I think you'd have felt okay about Barnett.
I mean, if he would have played great that night, where are we on Jalen right now?
I don't know. Well, I guess Barnett is not four stops later at South Florida. Summer may be winding down, but you can still have a vacation every weekend on a boat from Airport Marine. They have the Southeast's largest selection of fishing, ski, and pontoon boats. Right now, their inventory reduction sale has all 2018 models on deep discount, I-65, exit 234, Airport Marine.
Brandon writes in on Twitter, who really cares who starts? If Jalen starts and messes up, Tua comes in. If Tua starts and messes up, Jalen comes in. Well, that's the situation you want to have. We'll see if they have that when they play Louisville coming up a little bit later on. Away from that situation for a moment, where does the SEC East teams get their wins against the SEC West this year? You would start with Georgia, and Georgia's crossover games, Auburn, obviously, and LSU this year,
right? They're at LSU October 13. I think they can win both those games, obviously.
I think they will win both those games.
So there's two.
After Georgia, give me where the SEC East beats the West, the good teams.
South Carolina hosting Texas A&M and at Ole Miss, that could be a sweep, Lance.
Yep. I mean, again, that could be an 0-2, too.
It could be.
South Carolina will be favored against Texas A&M on October 13th. And to me, the trickier game would be going to Oxford to take on Ole Miss.
Florida is at State, and they host LSU back-to-back weeks. I could see them splitting that one. I think they can beat LSU. I think they'll lose at State.
I would agree with you.
So far, the East isn't faring too bad here. I mean, when you first threw this out, I thought, wow, I'm about to look at this and the East is going to be awful. They're not awful.
Right? Give me Missouri.
We're about to get to the bottom of the East.
It's changed over the years.
Yeah. Missouri, Lance, is at Alabama, and they host Arkansas. They could split that one.
Well, they will split that one.
Yeah, I think so. So that's not terrible. Kentucky is at Texas A&M October 6th, and Where is their other one? They host Mississippi State September 22nd.
That's a winnable game.
Kentucky Mississippi State is?
Yeah.
Okay.
In Lexington.
I would not have thought you would have said that.
I mean, I think Mississippi State will win that game, but it is a winnable game for Kentucky.
I would say Kentucky gets swept there.
Probably.
Tennessee has their annual game against Alabama the week before they're at Auburn. I think they get swept there.
They get swept.
And then Vanderbilt takes on Arkansas. That's a road game October 27th. And then they host Ole Miss November 17th.
Mm, if you flip those around, if you get Arkansas and Nashville, I think that's a win. But right now, probably 0-2.
I didn't keep up with it, but I feel like we just gave you a 500.
About, yeah.
Close to it.
Yeah.
A little under, I think. But not a bad year for the East. Georgia, a couple of tricky games there, do you expect them to handle that?
Well, I mean, a road trip at LSU, who knows? October 13th, that looks like a CBS game, 2:30, Georgia at LSU. I don't know what else, not looking at what else is that day. Probably that's a CBS game. And then the Auburn game is what it is. It's a tough game every year, but Auburn has not fared well in Athens of late.
Our Baumhauer's Victory Grill team of the day is Michigan State at number 14. We'll talk about the Spartans coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. But our friends at Baumhauer's are there for you for lunch and a lot more this football season.
Red Hot Lunch Special is going on $5.99, including that free Red Diamond iced tea. Stop in. Check out the Baumhauer's summer lunch specials. Legendary fun, legendary food. It's Baumhauer's Victory Grill.
All right, away from college football for a second to the NFL. Sam Darnold looks like he's on pace to be the starter, according to Adam Schefter, for the New York Jets. He's been that impressive in a short amount of time there in camp. What do you think of Sam Darnold getting to the forefront of that race in New York?
Well, we knew inevitably he's going to be the guy. I mean, you sign him $30 million deal, and you're competing against veterans Josh McCown and now Teddy Bridgewater. I'd love to see Bridgewater be able to do something. Just such an unfortunate situation when he got injured a couple of years ago with Minnesota. This is no surprise. I mean, if Sam Darnold inevitably is going to be the guy and it's for the New York Jets, if he's right there with the other two, why not play him immediately?
I would agree.
Yeah, there's no reason not to.
Work for the future, right?
Right.
NFL exhibition games coming up this weekend. Starting on Thursday, continuing Friday and Saturday, Brown and I have our wonderful showdown of the Bucks and the Dolphins.
Oh.
What is our bet going to be for that, you think?
I don't know. I mean, is your guy Winston? Are they going to start Fitzpatrick or Winston? Is he even playing the preseason?
I feel like we should play Winston a lot because he's going to need that recall after he sets out the first 3 weeks.
Do you play him as the backup? Do you
That's
give
why
him
I like our chances,
two full
by the way.
Quarters? I mean, if Tannehill gets out of this thing uninjured.
Would you guys be willing at what we did with the NBA for NFL exhibition? To throw a little prize into the pot and pick four teams, and whoever has the most wins get 2 points a win.
I mean, we can do that
on just the exhibition season. Find some reason to make those games interesting.
Is that a red flag, Rockstar? That we're just,
no, it's that
we're not degenerates at all.
That flag's been flying with pride.
It's not a
for
new
a
red
long,
flag,
long time.
That will not be the worst thing I've ever wagered on.
You want to bet what color the flag should be?
We're gonna do snake bet in break
and we can figure out the details.
I need to look at the schedules real quick. I want to see where some of the key teams are going.
First down.
There it is. What happens first? Michigan State goes back to the college football playoff, or Auburn gets to their first college 14 playoff?
It's going to be a good year for Michigan State, but I think Auburn gets there first. I don't think Michigan State can claw through that division even with a talented quarterback and running back, and I think Auburn will get there first.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn is in a better spot in their division and an easier path. I never thought I'd say this, but an easier path in the SEC West than the Big Ten East.
Great point.
I mean, it's crazy to say that, but it is the case right now.
I think Mark D'Antonio is probably the better coach, more consistent program, but I would go Auburn as well. I think Big Ten East right now just way too difficult, and I do expect a big year for Michigan State, but just not enough.
You think who's a more consistent program, Michigan State?
I think Mark D'Antonio has been a more consistent coach than Gus Malzahn.
Seems like
he had that one bad year.
And that's been it?
That's it. I mean, you think about the last 5 years, Dunaway, 13-1, 11-2, 12-2, 3-9, and 10-3.
I mean, okay. it was a bad
terrible.
Low.
Yeah.
There's no doubt it was a bad low, but I think overall he hasn't reached the heights maybe of Gus Malzahn, but I think he's been more consistent.
Second down.
Who lasts longer in East Lansing, Mark D'Antonio or Tom Izzo?
So Izzo appears to have survived his, right?
For the time being. And he's been more successful. But he looked like a guy ready to give up last year.
He did. I mean, he kept getting question after question on that.
I think if Ohio State came open, Brown, how attractive would that be for Mark D'Antonio, and would they even look at him?
I mean, that's a great question. I not even thought of that possibility. Would they look at him?
Maybe. I mean, again, you'd have to factor in age and health and some other things, and the fact that he's in the Big Ten right now. But I don't think it would be a bad choice.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a great choice, I think, for both places. I would say Izzo lasts longer.
Third down.
More total touchdowns this year, Brian Lewerke or Nick Fitzgerald?
I'm going to go Nick Fitzgerald. Lewerke's good, I know that. But Fitzgerald, I talked to some people who've seen practices, seen workouts over in Starkville this weekend. They say he's good. Nick's good to go. I'm going to go Fitzgerald.
I'm getting total touchdowns here?
Total touchdowns.
Yeah, I'll go Fitzgerald on that one. I think the run will put you over the top.
Well, it was 29 last year to 25 in favor of Fitzgerald. But Lewerke can run, too. I mean, almost 700 yards on the ground last year. I would lean Lewerke.
Fourth down.
More regular season wins, the Lions or the Spartans?
I'm going to go Spartans. I think they lose three. I'm going to go nine. And I'll go, it's usually a push, nine for the Lions, but I'll say eight for the Lions.
Yeah, it's a tough division. If you believe in the Bears, you believe in the Packers, which I do believe in the Packers. I'm still not 100% certain on the Bears. I think I would go Michigan State in this one.
Yeah, I'll go Michigan State 10-8. Michigan State, to me, only one really difficult road game at Penn State. I think it's 10-win season.
10-win season, says LT for Michigan State. We'll make our official picks. Talk to me about quarterback, I know, but start at running back for me. A guy who just grabs the lunch pail and go to work. LJ Scott's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, a guy that's been a starter on and off for the last, going on his fourth year, his senior season for Mark D'Antonio, a guy that was almost 1,000-yard back and just a grinder. Big back, 6'1", 230 pounds, behind an experienced offensive line that returns four starters. But really, this offense does begin and end right now with Brian Lewerke, and really his progression from the first half to the second half of 2017, he was a different quarterback, and he's a guy that can actually do it all. We've seen really good quarterbacks in Kirk Cousins and Connor Cook, but this is a different dimension. This is a quarterback that can get outside the pocket, and he can create with his legs. As advertised, I mean, almost 700 rushing yards last year with five touchdowns.
This is a team, though, that lived on the edge a lot last year. I mean, it's somewhat remarkable that they ended up with only three losses.
Yeah, 10-3.
10-3, but, I mean, their offense just didn't put up in some of the big games. Now, specifically Ohio State, they got killed in that game, 48-3 on the road. But they had a 17-10 win over Iowa, 14-10 win at Michigan, 30-27 at Minnesota, 17-9 against Indiana, 17-7 against Maryland. They got beat by Northwestern 39-31, 27-24 they beat Penn State. Man, Lance, they played a lot of one-possession games last year, and most of those went in their favor.
Well, and one of the big reasons, Brian Lewerke, and I think it shows you the coach that Mark D'Antonio is, you know, going into year number 12, it's amazing, same amount of years as Nick Saban in Tuscaloosa. This is a guy that's 9-9 in top 10 matchups, so he can actually, I mean, he can really get it done when it comes to headsets. And you go back to 2016, such a train wreck at 3-9, an atypical year. But to bounce back and go from 3 wins to 10 wins, very impressive. And I think it's going to be a better team this year. I think the schedule breaks right. Again, maybe the most difficult game, October 13th at Penn State. They've got Michigan and Ohio State on the schedule, obviously being in the Big Ten East. Both of those games come in East Lansing. To me, a best case is 11-1. A worst case is 8-4. I think they're 10-2 this year.
You think they're 10-2? I won't make a prediction, but I feel 9-3, 10-2. But
are you doing the game?
Give. Yeah, Jim's doing the game. Can't make a prediction.
And you actually just made a prediction.
But Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Michigan State, such a tough division.
It is.
And you can make a case that they, you know, Maryland's coming up. You can make a case that they're going to finish fourth in their division.
Yeah, I mean,
and be a really good football
team.
Yeah,
you certainly could. I mean, for what it's worth, I don't know how much home field matters for them. But they get Michigan and Ohio State at home. They're on the road at Penn State. So, you know, for whatever that's worth.
60-18 at home.
Okay. So it's worth a lot.
It's pretty good home field
advantage.
Yeah,
it's pretty valuable in that case. And, Lance, I think you think Michigan and Ohio State are both better than Penn State, right? That's the way you feel.
Yeah, my pecking order would be Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State, Penn State.
Okay.
All four really good teams. But to me, the top three – and Michigan, Ohio State, and Michigan State are top 10
teams. So in Lance's pecking order, they get the toughest two teams in their division at home. Now, some are going to disagree with that pecking order. I get it. But, you know, only having one of those on the road, that's big in that division.
Macon Like Bacon, who's been fun on Twitter all morning, and I love that handle, Macon Like Macon. The irony of the Alabama quarterback situation, a 26-2 record, basically irrelevant by a 2nd-and-26 play. A lot of numerical play there. Bobby on Twitter. Tua gives the Bulldogs something else to think about is what Herbstreit said in the national championship game. Tua messed up Kirby's defensive game plan, stacked the box, and played great man-to-man. Kirby knew that if it came down to it, Jalen was going to run, couldn't beat him. That's why Tua became a star. I wonder if you start game planning for Tua, if that changes his effectiveness.
Well, it's what we'll never know. But now, here's the thing. Tua can run as effectively as Jalen Hurts. Wouldn't you guys agree with that?
No, I don't. I mean, I think Tua is very athletic.
But now think about it. Jalen Hurts is going to be running against a lot of stacked boxes. Tua's going to be running against a lot of defenders downfield.
Yeah, but by that, so it might balance out. But I'm just talking about as a pure runner. I mean, he's got an exceptional skill set when it comes to that. I mean, he's, you know.
Who Hurts?
Hurts, yeah. One of the top two or three running quarterbacks in college football.
Yeah, but we've seen Tua scramble. He's not a stacked, you know, he's not Tom Brady stuck in the pocket. I mean, this guy can run.
No, he can run
the football.
Very athletic.
Yeah.
William on Twitter, and always love your feedback. McElroy, 24-3. McCarron, 35-3. Sims, 12-2. Coker, 14-0. I think it's reasonable to assume that Tua can accomplish as much as Jalen did.
Is Coker the only undefeated quarterback
in
Alabama
history? Isn't that crazy? In Alabama history or Saban history?
In Alabama history.
I mean, you'd have to have a minimum amount of starts, but potentially, yeah.
He's going just 1 year of Coker, but Coker played the year before, too, as a starter, right?
No, it was Blake Sims.
He didn't play any at all?
No, Blake Sims started the whole year.
Never started one?
Yeah. Okay. Because everybody thought it was going to be Coker, and it ended up being Blake Sims. Everybody but Wimp. Wimp thought it was going to be Blake. I mean, you know, look, you throw those numbers in there, and it shows you that the quarterback at Alabama is pretty well set up for success. Herbstreit said... And I trust Herbstreit's opinion, and there's no reason for him to be giving a hyperbole here, but he said that this is a quarterback like Saban has never had, that it gives them a dimension that Alabama has never had under Nick Saban. That's pretty strong words coming from Kirk Herbstreit, who I think probably knows the quarterback position pretty well.
All right, our last big thing today is the PGA Championship. It's the final major of the year. It'll also flip back around pretty quickly because they're moving it to what, May?
They are.
Next year.
Players Championship goes back to March. That's in May.
So it'll be the second major next year, but it's been the last major for a long, long time, and it's about to happen this weekend. Justin Thomas, the former Alabama golfer, is the defending champion.
Mm-hmm.
He just won at the World Golf Classic this weekend.
Playing quite well.
And I know it's rare that you get somebody to go on a roll and win a big event like at Bridgestone and then back it up with a PGA Championship. And it's rare to go back-to-back on majors to win the PGA back-to-back years. But as you said, JT goes in to a course that a lot of these guys haven't seen playing really good golf.
Belrive is the course. It is just outside of St. Louis. I think 92 was the last PGA Championship there. So these guys, like you said, Jim, it's new to all of them. Right now, your favorites at 12-1 are Dustin Johnson and Tiger Woods. This group, and this is so bunched up, man. This group at 15-1, Justin Rose, Roy McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler, Jason Day, and you just mentioned him, Justin Thomas, in that second tier right there, guys at 15-1.
Tiger sort of fell off.
73-73 over the weekend.
This past weekend.
On a course he owns.
Yeah. That's not a good sign going in. We'll see if he can put four rounds together. Give me somebody off the beaten path. Let's say you're in an office pool with friends. And you need to do well this weekend to maybe get your money back or win some money.
There's that flag again.
I know. It's everywhere, Rockstar.
Give me one guy to keep an eye on this week.
I think Xander Schauffele is playing pretty well.
You think that carries over to the PGA as well?
I think it certainly could.
I'm asking for a friend. That person has not used Xander Schauffele
yet.
Yes,
I'm aware. Yeah.
Yes.
I think Xander Schauffele wouldn't be a bad play. Lance normally has a good outside-the-box guy he likes. I don't know if he's ready to unveil that guy.
I mean, I guess I can. I'm out of that thing anyway, unless I actually win this week. But I think Webb Simpson.
He's had a good season, yeah.
I mean, three top 20s in majors. He's a really
good player. Won the players, which is, you know, like a major out there.
Your friend may have used Webb Simpson already.
70-1 this weekend, by the way.
71. He's a long shot.
Yeah.
Should it be a fun weekend at this course? Is it going
to
be?
I don't know what to expect from this course.
Is it a scoring tournament or is it a?
A lot of the talk going, probably so, because a lot of the talk I heard yesterday with Faldo and Nance is they're talking about, can this course stand up to today's players? So that tells me that this may play a little bit shorter.
Right. They haven't extended it back for technology.
It's an old school course, so we'll see if it can stand up to today's player. But the PGA doesn't worry about that. They don't mind you being 20 under. So I think it can be entertaining, sure.
All right. Look forward to that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Exhibition play returns this week. Johnny Manziel will get his second start at Montreal. And, of course, the three-man front standing by with Landrum, Aaron, and Cole to talk more about Urban Meyer and about Jalen Hurts and what they saw this weekend. Landrum and Aaron were over there on Saturday at the open practice to take a look at all that. You'll get that coming up the next 4 hours, 10 to 2 here on Jocks and across the state on the Jocks Network. We're back with you tomorrow with Clay Travis, part of our conversation, and more on the camps around college football. But right now, the getaway.
Gave him this nickname Friday. He's using it against me. This is Stewie Lewis in the news. I guess Stu didn't like the nickname, so I got two more. I got Stu Laces, or we can do Stu a Jocks a producer.
Stu a Jocks a producer?
Tua Tagovailoa, man.
Stu
a Jocks a producer.
Okay. Let's think through that, Joe.
It's a mouthful.
It is.
The morning stew, I still like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you went with that.
Yeah, until next time, God bless you and God bless America. Three-man front's next.
I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. We've all heard that mortgage interest rates have started to rise, but I'm not here to scare you like those other banks and mortgage companies. I'm still locking loans in, saving people thousands of dollars a month. TheHomeLoanExpert.com.
The Home Loan Expert, LLC.